The Paradise Center for the Arts has three new shows going up the week of June 11th, with a gallery opening for the artist on June 15th from 5 to 7 p.m. Exhibitions will be up through July 28th. The gallery opening is free and open to the public and includes work by Jeffrey Hansen and Katie Teasdale to be featured in the Carlander Family Gallery, a member show miniature challenge in the Lois Vranish Boardroom Gallery, and Eva Peters with Henry Peters in the Corey Lynn Krieger Memorial Gallery. And don't miss the Merlin Players Summer Musical. The 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee opens on June 15th at the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany Radio for the Imagination. We are here to talk about opening up your imagination. We celebrate creating in stories, and I hope that you're ready for a great story. I am going to start off. Now, you might be surprised by this. I'm going to talk about shopping carts. Okay, I'm thinking about this because last week I mentioned shopping carts, and I've always loved shopping carts. And a long time ago, in one of my past lives, I worked as a newsstand marketing manager for a major national magazine. And my goal was to find miniature shopping carts to give out to all of as little tchotchkes for our business partners. And I think there's something really cool about shopping carts, especially those little mini ones. I mean, they're just so adorable. But last week on the show, I mentioned this because there was a commercial that kind of caught my attention, and I can't stop thinking about it. I'm not going to tell you the product, but it's a woman walking through a store filling up her cart with art and ceramics. And I was sort of shocked by this. It kind of made me feel uneasy. And I couldn't imagine doing that. And I can't stop thinking about what I mentioned last week was just, you know, that I couldn't imagine doing that. But I keep thinking about it because I've always bought my art one piece at a time, something special, something that I find from an artist that connects with me, or something I see at a gallery or a fair or something. And so it was really shocking to me to see somebody doing that. But then, on the other hand, I found myself at a local discount store, which I won't name, buying some decorative pillows for our new space and some patio cushions. And my cart was just bursting with lots of color and design. And I started thinking, well, this is kind of like buying art, I suppose, because I'm decorating my space. I'm adding the things that make me happy, the colors, the textures, and trying to create a way that our space will feel. And these were like art items for our home. And I was buying art, I guess, if you want to call it that. It just made me think about this whole process and thinking about that shopping cart. And then I thought, well, why don't we use shopping carts at galleries and art fairs? I mean, how many times have you been at a gallery or an art fair and you're like, I want to buy that painting, but I don't know if I can take that mug and that vase at the same time. And then maybe you say, I'll get back to it, and you don't. So I don't know. So I had this little fun vision in my mind of these little shopping carts running through downtowns. And everybody filling them up with art. And I'm trying to turn that idea around. I think it would be fun to buy art by the shopping cart. I don't know. I just can't imagine. But it's something that really makes me happy to think about that. So I say, if you buy what you love and what speaks to your heart, wherever that is, do things that help cheer you up and make your space feel connected to the world and make it feel whatever it is that you aspire to be. So however you buy your art, one piece at a time or buy the art cartful, bravo to you for adding art to your life. And of course, my wish is always for everyone is that we make and create artful lives, whether with a tiny shopping cart on the shelf or a giant shopping cart at an outdoor art fair. Do your thing and add art to your everyday. So that's my little story for today. You can ask me a little bit more about that if you want some more details. I think it's a fun thing. I think if my sister's listening, I was always jealous of the little shopping cart that she had on her shelf, and that's where some of the inspiration came from for this. So we're going to start with a story today. We are talking with Jessica Prill of Fleur de Lis Gallery. Welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Hey, Paula.
It's great to see you again.
Good to see you too, always.
and Julie Faulkner, the director of operations at the Paradise Center for the Arts. And they are going to, welcome. Sorry.
That's okay.
I just got excited because you guys are talking about a creative crawl, which is something fairly new in downtown Faribault. And it's happening always on the third Friday.
Yep. So in correlation with a car show that actually goes on down there as well.
Is it always the third Friday as well?
Yes.
Oh, so you, I bring the whole.
We strategically placed ourselves.
I think that's pretty clever because there'll be something for everybody in the family to discover at that. And it's downtown Faribault from 5 to 8. This year, this month, it is Friday, June 15th. So that's next weekend. And
I cannot believe that's already the third Friday of June. I feel like we just got to June.
We did. So I'm super excited about this. Julie is also a painter who is known for her vibrant, original domestic animal paintings. You will, if you see a Julie Faulkner painting, you can almost always identify. It's really cool to be able to, like, from, you know, afar, you go, that's Julie's.
Oh, well, thank you. That's a great compliment.
You have developed a style. You have a way of expressing that really is truly you, and you love painting animals.
I love to capture the personality of the animal.
Yeah, she totally does.
I know, it's amazing. None of them are the same. They all, you have this connection and this ability to bring that through, which is beautiful.
Yeah, I love the animals.
That's a good thing. Yeah, and it's not just pets. You do farm animals.
Farm animals, goats, chickens, cows. I've even done rats, pet rats. Yeah.
Wow, I suppose that who wouldn't want to immortalize their they're all pets are special, so that's pretty exciting. And you can, is JMF Studios, I forgot to ask you ahead of time, still a great website to check out for you?
Actually, I've gone over to juliefaulkner.com.
Oh, well, then I will update that in the posting. Julie Faulkner, F-A-K-L-E-R.
Yep, .com.
So folks can check that out. And Jessica Prill is a jewelry artist, and I like to say an adventurer, because you're always...
I am.
Trying. You are. You're always up for something new and some new experience, some new style. I think that's really exciting. You're inspired by colors, textures, and nature. And I saw your Instagram was a great place, I think, to check out your new...
Yes, go to my Instagram.
That's JessPrill78.
Yep.
And any other, I saw Behance. Is that a good website for you? I should have checked this ahead of time.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what Behance is. Oh, you know what? That might be the new website you'll have to tell me what that is.
All right, we'll talk about it at the end.
But I'm getting a website for the gallery, but I don't know if that's going through that.
Gotcha.
You could also find our information. We're both on the studio art tour in the fall.
Mm-hmm. And that has, that happens in October of every year, which is another thrilling thing. And so there are ways to find art all the time. Mm-hmm. And the Creative Crawl is just one of them. That's on Central Avenue, which is that main street downtown Faribault, which is just less than 15 minutes.
Yes.
Down the road, very easy to get to, and this is Fridays from the third Friday from 5 to 8 in May, June, and July. So you'll have another one in July for folks to think about. Tell us about, have you ever thought about shopping carts? Maybe I'll just start with that.
Well, I think that, a cart full of art is my, new goal in life.
I thought it was very exciting. Yeah. I would love to buy a whole shopping cart worth of art at one time.
Isn't that fun? Yeah, I think about that because usually you're having to pick because you just, you aren't able to. Mm-hmm. But then I started turning that idea around and thought, we could do that.
Definitely.
And I love the idea of the...
I think we should just get shopping carts for the Creative Crawl now and art carts and just fill your cart.
We have two shopping carts in the basement of the Paradise.
They're coming up.
We can work on this.
This could happen. This could happen.
We're going to make a dream come true, Paula.
Oh, thank you. And how has being an artist, both of you have business, work in the business of art as well as having your own career. So how has that affected the way that you bring art into your life? I'm just thinking about, you know so many different angles of art, and I'm imagining your spaces and how you fill up, your lives with art.
Well, mine is it's always bursting at the seams, so I have to create a new... The gallery that I'm doing now was kind of just so I had a place to put my stuff. it's an obsession, I think. They call it a passion. That's just the pretty word for it. It's really it's an illness. It's an obsession.
You like to surround yourself with...
I mean, it's...
Yeah. I just bought a Rebecca Tolley and got that home and placed it next to my new detailer. So I'm very excited, and I kind of put it where I start my morning.
That's a great idea.
And good and bad thing about working at the Paradise, I buy a lot of art.
Me too.
And because you get to see it all the time, what's coming in, that is hard. That is a challenge.
Well, and now I've got Jessica's place to shop at too.
Yes, and she's been a great customer, so.
You should tell us about Fleur de Lis, because that started out as a pop-up shop. I remember doing the interview when you were like brand new. And
I was running around trying to get the place ready on the phone with you. Yeah, that was fun. we put it up, and like I said before, it was like kind of, I just wanted a place to sell my work, and I had a baby, and I just thought, well, what would be harder than opening an art gallery with a newborn? So I did that, and we just did it for the holidays, and it was great. So we did it again, and then we got this great opportunity. The guy we're renting from, John Sheasley, said, what if you stayed and we gave you a really good deal on the space and then found you a better one? So we took that. And now we've got the better one. So we're moving all month. So if you're trying to find me, I'll probably be between 329 and 219 Central Avenue in Faribault.
Both on Central Avenue.
Both
though.
On Central Avenue, yeah. So we were in the old K Floral space, which is right on the corner, and we're moving down to the 200 block. And it's a huge space. It's so pretty inside. We got it all painted nice and fresh. And we're going to have a formal gallery so we can do installations, as well as having kind of the boutique-y side of it as well. We can add artists. I had 40 and had other people that wanted in, but I didn't have room. So
that's good news.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's been a really great experience.
And it'll be a year-round store.
It's a year-round. We're permanent. You can't get rid of us.
That's exciting for downtown Faribault.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Yeah.
And Julie, you're very involved at the Paradise Center for the Arts. Yeah. A lot of people think about the theater, but they also have beautiful gallery spaces at the Paradise.
Yeah, we have 3 on-site galleries. Right now we're doing the recycled art sale. That will be today until 5 and tomorrow noon to 5.
Bring your shopping cart.
That's a good place, actually, to have one, right?
And then we'll have a gallery opening next Friday, June 15th, actually during the Creative Crawl. So we'll have a gallery opening, the Creative Crawl, Main Street is doing the car cruise, and Merlin Players will have the opening of the Spelling Bee.
Ooh!
So I think June 15th, the place to be is downtown Faribault.
It is, and I do keep reading about more things happening, you know, new spaces opening. It's kind of having a bit of a resurgence. What is your feeling being down there of what's developing in downtown Faribault?
Well, it really is. I mean, it's really fun watching the new businesses come in, and there's so much art in Faribault. I mean, I think if you just drive down the street, you could miss it. I mean, if you get out of your car and walk around, there's, of course, the Paradise, which is the star.
Kind of the anchor, right?
Yeah, they are the star. But, you know, there's this Upper East Side Gallery. They've got a few artists in there that are really cool. Glass Garden Beads always is great. Even, like, Rough Acres, which is this really kind of cool little grocery store. But he teaches cooking classes, which can be considered an art, I think. I mean, there's just, like, so many.
Bluebird Cakery.
Bluebird Cakery, yeah.
If you see those cupcakes, that's definitely a work of art.
Oh, completely. Yes. And the you can wander around through downtown, and there's all these great little nooks and crannies now that I think people have kind of, you know, it definitely went through a slump, I think.
Yeah,
And so if you want to be on the front end of the discovery, get yourself to Faribault.
Well, Savvy Brush, the
Cheesecake. Yes, the Savvy Brush.
Finally, a gift shop. I mean, there's all kinds of things happening downtown.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. And how did this creative crawl begin? How did that all those dots come together and you decide to have a monthly?
Julie and I kind of.
So you two cooked it up.
We kind of
talked, and we want to get the artists out on the street. Mm-hmm. We want you to come and meet the artists. They're doing demonstrations. They're doing take and makes, showing off their wares, selling their wares. We just want to highlight the Faribault artists.
And so I love what you said there. So it's not just that you get to go and view the spaces, but there'll be things happening.
Yes.
So tell us about some of those events that are happening with this Friday, June 15th, Creative Crawl in downtown Faribault.
Well, I know Suzanne with the Glass Garden has a little make and take cart that she brings out to the street. So I don't know exactly what project she'll have going, but she had one last time.
Something that you can probably complete in within a short period of time, so you aren't there.
And then she's got some coloring posters of cars. So you can do that. And I personally, I'm talking to an artist who does car hot rod art to see if he can put his work out on the sidewalk that night. I don't want to say the name.
I think last time you had Melissa Henning, she does car-related items.
Melissa Henning is a ceramic artist who teaches here at the Northfield Arts Guild, and she does really cool license plate ceramics stuff.
And Minnesota-related.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's more than just to see inside. There's stuff happening on the sidewalks and all around, in addition to that car show, which I think is kind of a fun thing to brings back some memories, you know, of going with my dad to do some of those things. And
I like that
the way that feels, to have families downtown and walking up and down the streets, and it's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, it's going to be it was great last time. So the first one kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah, me too.
It all of a sudden was time to do it, but there was like tons of people downtown. I couldn't believe it was a perfect weather. There's hundreds of
people.
They
were just milling around, walking up and down. I was doing a raku glazing demonstration. People just stopped, asked what I was doing, and I got to promote the education classes at the Paradise. It was very exciting.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what some of the goals are with it. And there'll be one in June and then again in July. That's on the 20th. So you can add those to your calendar as a destination for a Friday night, especially in the summer. It's always nice to have something a little field trip for everybody to take part.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me again, there were a little bit more. One of the other sponsors is the Upper East Side, which is kind of a new thing, yeah?
Well, I think they've been around for a while.
Quite a few years. Suzanne Schwichtenberg.
Yeah.
She also does Gallery on the Go. Mm-hmm. She has several artists in her space. She has Paul Schell.
Feaster
Foster. I'm trying to think. She's got a couple. Anna.
Just these painted scarves, silk scarves.
And I saw that it was kind of an event space, too, where you could, you know, host parties or have corporate
they do
events.
Yeah, wine and paint parties.
Yeah, that's a fun thing to have. And that's always a good thing to do with either the family or some girlfriends, or lots of different options. So there are some great things happening. What have we missed about the Creative Crawl that we want folks to know? So we can get them to turn their car and head south for a
night. Well,
I
mean, in addition to the car show and the artists, I mean, there's F-Town Brewery, there's the Cheese Cave, and now the 10,000 Drops Distillery is opening, I think, this week?
This month, yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's incredible. And now you want to talk about artists? The people that redid the inside of that Peterson Art Building, is that what that was? It's incredible in there. They recycled all the stuff that they took down, and it's beautiful. So, I mean, that's another reason, just to see the cool architecture and what people are doing with the rehabbing of the buildings. So,
it's like Northfield, and that has a distinct downtown, and that's something to treasure and to celebrate. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that I always look forward to. I like to see what they do with those buildings
And another thing downtown, we have the murals.
Oh, yeah.
So if you, like Jessica said, get out of your car, you could look at all the beautiful murals. And the recycled art sale that's going on right now, the proceeds for that help fund the Mural Society.
Oh, okay.
Right. That is the Paradise Center for the Arts. That's going on now through the 9th, so that's through tomorrow, as you mentioned. And it's the Mural Society of Faribault, which is kind of a cool way to bring art, you know, everywhere.
Yes.
And so there's probably some new ones that folks haven't seen.
Trying to remember the last one, I think, was about Bruce Smith, the Heisman-winning football player. The next one is going to be on the back of the band shell in Central Park, and that's going to be about Bishop Whipple and his work he did with the Native Americans.
So a really great way to celebrate the history.
History and... Faribault.
So that's exciting. Well, I love what's happening and what's developing, and it's great to be able to share the stories with our listeners so that they think of alternatives and new pathways. I always like thinking about building bridges between communities and artists, and this is the perfect way to celebrate that. Now, a lot of folks will know both of you from some of your art that you've created, so I'd love to be able to hear what's happening in your studio spaces and what's developing with your particular, you're a painter, Julie. Shirley, let's start with you and some of your animal portraits. And you also do a few other things as well. So I'd love to hear.
Oh, yes. My new love is raku pottery. And I was commissioned to do a portrait of a cat in raku pottery this last time, and it turned out amazing. I was so pleased with it.
But that was the last one you had on Facebook?
Yeah.
That was really cool.
So tell me how you, because one of the things that I think of when I think of your paintings are the vibrant colors and the, you know, really defined sort of the backgrounds.
Actually, and that's why I love raku pottery. I figured out how to transfer my painting style to the pottery. I think this was the fifth time I did a firing with Diane Lockerbie. And I figured out I like the underglazes on the pottery, and I can get those vibrant colors that I get in my paintings. And also, if I do a big, heavy outline carved in the raku, it turns black like the outlines of my painting. So to me, it's a perfect transition.
That's interesting, because usually I think of raku and I think of sort of these iridescent and subtler colors.
Yeah. I do use some of the raku glazes, but the underglazes I can get like a bright red. Actually, my favorite color is called Christmas red. And I just got sweet pea green, and I even went and bought all my own glazes. Super excited about it. Our next firing is November 3rd.
And so that might be something, oh, just after the studio art
yes.
tour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but people might be able to see that's really interesting. I'm excited for you.
Yeah, and if you'd like to see some pieces, I do have them in the gift shop at the Paradise Center for the Arts. And also I'm going to put a couple of those pieces in the Members Miniature Challenge, which opens next Friday during the Creative Crawl.
Hey.
And so tell me, is it actual art miniature?
It's pieces 10 by 10 inches or smaller.
And so was that something that everybody's challenged to on the same same size board, or is it something where you can bring anything that you
want? We just kind of left it open-ended. The artwork has to be 10 by 10 inches or smaller. So you could have it framed, and the frame could exceed the 10 by 10 inches. And we did not restrict it to any mediums. So we will have pottery, painting, jewelry, sculpture.
And that'll be open for the event happening.
Yes.
Oh, that's
mm-hmm.
exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see how you're bringing those colors to life through raku. It's an exciting development for you because it's very different. I'm curious about the idea of you've got a painting where you have a flat space to create, and then the curves. How are you managing the curves?
Actually, I'm just rolling out slabs and carving them. So
It's a tile,
yeah.
Okay, now I can see. I instantly went, and I shouldn't have done that. That was a presumption that you have to, you know.
I'm a 2D person, so that's kind of flat.
But that's a nice alternative to have a different option.
Yeah.
And we want to remind people that it's juliefakler.com that you can learn more about her work, and that's fakler.com so that you can see some of those images.
Yeah.
What an exciting development. And Jessica, you're always doing something that's new, and you're always experimenting, so I can't wait to hear what's happening for you.
Well, my latest obsession has been raw diamonds.
Well, that's...
Let's just go straight to the top.
Who wouldn't, right? Do tell.
And setting stones. So I'm, you know, a lot of people, they get, like, trained on how to do stuff, and I don't know where to go to do that around here. So I just kind of read and Google and hack silver up and hope it turns out right. And raw diamonds are very forgiving that way.
Well, they're very hard.
They're very hard and they're very irregular. So if your piece is irregular and your stone is irregular, it looks really cool.
Mm.
So I've been having a lot of fun with that.
Tell me how you're putting it together. And if I were to, because I'm not... If when you say raw diamonds, does that mean?
So a raw diamond is essentially what they pull out of the ground.
Okay.
The ones that I'm working with, because they're what I can afford, are more of a low grade. So actually, a lot of these kinds of diamonds probably end up in a more industrial they kind of came out of that.
Would it look like a piece of quartz, or is it?
No, they're gray. They look wet. They're really cool. They're very sparkly.
Even at that.
Yeah, and they have this really cool luster to them. They tend to be like grayish to yellow. They do have ones that are more white, but, you know, they go up to like $70 a carat or something like that. And, you know, you have to be able to afford it, and I want people to be able to buy it. So, but I love imperfection. That's kind of my whole angle with jewelry. So none of my stuff is like perfectly round or, you know.
And so how are you combining that with the silver then? What kinds of things are you...
I'm making rings and pendant, little pendant necklaces and earrings. And I have this little pair right now of post earrings where the two diamonds don't match. Like the asymmetry is kind of in right now in style. So I play with that and do little prong settings and just learning new techniques as I go. And
yeah, and when you say that, the first thing I think of is, well, I always put two of the same earrings in. Why? I don't have to.
I feel like I don't have. I have like an asymmetrical face, so I can't really rock the asymmetry earring because it just accentuates that about me. But there are the people that can.
I never thought that.
Like one eye is higher than the other.
No, it's not.
So, you know, my earrings have to match, but I love the asymmetry look, so I make it a lot.
And that's exciting, and you're always working with, I think that's something that I've admired about you, is you're not afraid to, you know, decide just, I want to do this type of metal, or I'm curious how this tool works.
I made my first real gold ring for someone, actually, in the UK, and it's a girl I went to high school with, and she said, I love your raw diamond jewelry, will you make me a ring? And I was like, okay. She's like, I'd like it in gold, please. And I was like, oh.
What?
Yeah, I was like, oh, no. So, you know, you're investing a lot more in gold.
Yeah.
It's amazing what, like, you put $300 down and they send you this little teeny tiny package of something. And, you know, I was like, is this empty? but, yeah, I made this really great ring. I'm really excited.
Wow, I think I would have been really nervous.
I was just like, my heart was in my stomach the whole time. Every time I, like, would cut it, I'd be like, oh, please don't be wrong, you know, and... perfection, like I said, is not where I come from. The ADD doesn't let it stick long enough, so I just really had to focus. It was a very good exercise in trying to be perfect.
but so. Still, though, that's probably what, you know, I think that having that not... The either asymmetry or not perfect, or trying to come up with a word that describes all of that, encapsulates all of that. But just that idea makes it, I think, original, makes it personal, and it kind of lets you express. Mm-hmm. And so I think it makes it more
intriguing. It has a lot
intriguing.
More character. Yeah. I mean, if you want perfect, go to, you know, like K Diamond or whatever that jewelry store is. You know, if you want something that looks like it's handmade by an artist, then I've got that down. So.
And how about for you? I would imagine symmetry and asymmetry is a real big part of how you frame your pieces or how you decide to place the portraits.
Composition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some of the ways that you've learned to make it your pieces have, you know, you play with that space?
Usually my animals jump off the canvas. Well, actually, board. I don't use canvas. I just start with a face, and sometimes they just get bigger and bigger and go off of the page.
So you're not thinking about the edges when you begin?
Not really. I'm thinking more about the animal.
Okay.
And I love the eyes.
Oh, my gosh. She gets the character of these critters so amazing. Even in your raccoon, I wanted to say, the way you capture in your paintings, you've not lost that at all in clay. In fact, I think you've even, like, enhanced it.
Yeah, and I never thought I'd like clay.
Oh, it's so cool.
And did you start by taking classes?
At the Paradise.
Yeah, they do have some incredible classes. Maybe you can talk a little bit about education, because I think that's something that I wish more people would make the time for in their lives.
Yes, Diane Lockerbie basically runs our pottery studio, and... I really got to know Diane, of course, from the Paradise, but she's in my studio for the art tour. So we've become really good friends, and I thought, oh, I'll just try it, and I won't like it. And I did a couple normal clay classes, didn't care for it, but the Rock Who is amazing. And Diane...
Maybe for our listeners, you should tell people the difference between just the traditional clay that you think of, the red earth or the porcelain, or and then the Rock Who.
The Raku clay is porous. I believe it was made by the Japanese for tea bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
So it has a different feel to it.
Yes, and you can't use it for, like, you know, your coffee mug. You don't want to put milk in it and stuff like that because it's porous. The things will stay inside it. But the process is different. We make the pieces at the Paradise, or you can make them at home, and then Diane bisque fires them for us, and then you glaze them. And like I said, I like the underglazes versus the raku glazes. And then we go over to Lockerbie sheet metal, and we have a raku kiln there. And we'll get the raku kiln up to about 1,800 degrees, 1,900 degrees, pull the pieces out, and then you put them in like a metal garbage can with the combustibles, and it does this oxygen smoking process.
That is fun to watch.
And then you, after they cool off, you scrub them up and you take them home. It's better than Christmas.
Well, and that's the thing that I've always thought was hard with clay, is that there is, to get the reward, there's a lot that has to happen.
And there's a lot of things that can go wrong.
It's exactly what I would be, I don't know how I would ever get comfortable with that idea of, I just invested this much and it just went poof.
I had several pieces break this time, and I've never had that problem. So I'm not sure what I did wrong, but I talked to about 3 or 4 pottery artists and asked them what I could do better.
And that is the one thing that, you know, last week I was talking with the folks from the a fabulous tour that's happening on Father's Day weekend, the Cannon River Clay Tour.
Oh, yes. I can't go. I spent way too much money.
It is a temptation. And that's one of the things that we talked about, too, was that, how many, not only the idea of how much time it takes to invest in making a piece, but how great the community is of clay artists that will, give you hints that, take their experience and pass on to you. There's, and I think that's true of a lot of the community of artists in this area.
And if you are looking for those people, Jessica and I could put you in contact with those artists.
Absolutely.
A lot of them do teach at Northfield Arts Guild or the Paradise Center for the Arts, and we've got Diane Lockerbie, Tom Willis,
Judy Say Willis.
All extraordinary teachers generous and amazing people.
Well, and I should mention, just since we're on education, I'm going to be having, I have another jeweler in the gallery with me, Julian Stager. And she's going to be doing teaching silversmithing through the gallery too. And I will be teaching some basics, but I'm not so great at teaching because everything I do is kind of like
Random, yes. Mm-hmm.
So, but she's very like organized and an amazing jewelry artist. So she's going to do teaching too. So if people want, because there's nowhere down here to learn silversmithing.
And I would say that's something that I know very little about. So I'd be curious just if someone's thinking, well, that I don't wonder if I could do that. What are some of the things that you need to get started in thinking about doing silversmithing? It seems like there might be a lot of tools.
There is a lot of tools, but the basics, you really just, if you want to do simple things, if you make jewelry and you just want to be able to, say, solder your own jump rings or make your own disclosures, you don't need a lot, just a little hand torch. My little hand torch, I can make simple earrings and then go make some creme brulee. It's a multifunctional tool.
A reason to have a torch.
Yeah, I mean, you're not investing in one thing, you're investing in two. So, yeah, I do, and we are prepared to teach you, set you up with the products that you need to do it on your own once you learn and go home. And I've done that for a couple people now, and it's really fun to watch people kind of open up. It everything kind of becomes like so much more possible.
And that's that's why education, taking classes,
awesome,
is so incredible, because it gives you that opportunity to, you maybe have this little inkling in the back of your mind of always wanted to, or I wished I could learn.
Well, I hear a lot of people when they come through the gallery, they always say, oh, well, I'm not artistic. And I'm like, yes, you are.
Yeah,
you just don't know.
Is.
You've never been given an opportunity to try. And I want to be able to kind of reach those people and say, let's just try. Let's see. And maybe it won't be perfect, but it doesn't have to be, because it's a process.
I think it's just trying the materials.
Yeah.
I mean, if I never tried the raku clay, I wouldn't have known.
Right.
Right, if you didn't put yourself in that position to just give it a chance. And I think the thing that I also value this. This is one of the reasons I do the radio show, is I want everybody to know that, it just takes some, stepping out a bit and, getting your hands in there and, having that expectation that I'm not going to make it, a finished vase. I'm not, I'm going to start with you know, maybe something that's a smaller project and, you know, just kind of getting yourself...
just getting your hands dirty and just trying. I mean, I think a lot of art is... I mean, no, even the most skilled artists, when they're looking at a blank canvas, you know, you're taking a risk going into that. You know, you could mess up. I mean... You know, it doesn't always turn out perfect.
That's I took my first wheel throwing class, and I thought the worst I can do is ruin some clay.
Yeah.
And that's basically what I did.
Actually, I think you can just lump it back down.
Mine is I hit the person next to me with the clay when it flew off the wheel. But, you know, we were in school. So.
Well, and I was thinking about this. Julia Walther was the artist that joined me last week. And one of the things, she lives in Washington, D.C., that she's looking at is trying to figure out how to set up a dirty space.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how they have share spaces where people do, you know, you can bring your laptops and do your business. And but, you know, she said there's really not a space where if your stuff is messy, you know, you're sewing or you're cutting or you're doing clay, that you can come and, you know, rent a little space. And I thought that was a cool idea.
If you're a member of the Paradise Center for the Arts, you can use our studio spaces when we're open.
Aha, so there is a space that you can use.
And the if you are familiar and taken a clay class before, same thing. If you're a member of the Paradise, you can go up in the clay studio and use that space.
So that's something you can talk to Julie about.
Big benefit of being a member of the Paradise.
And that is an important thing. And you know, that's what a lot of people just need is, I need to have a spot where I can go and do this exploration, but I can't fit it into my house, or I'd live in a tiny apartment. And that's what these art centers are great for doing.
And some people, if you want to try and you're scared you're going to mess up, don't use good stuff. Like, pull a piece of cardboard out and just throw paint on it and get used to playing with paint. Or
take a, like we said, take a class. Actually, I'll be teaching or holding a painting class in Central Park on June 14th, right before the concert in the park.
Mm-hmm. So that's Thursday night.
Yeah, so if you want to try painting, come and hang out with us. And it's free. It was made possible by a grant from the Southeastern Minnesota Arts Council.
Okay. Yay, CMAC.
Yeah.
And so that is, tell us a little more about the painting experience. So no experience necessary.
No. All ages are welcome. I'll have the supplies there and give you a little bit of demonstration. And you can paint, you know, from life if you want to paint the flowers in the park, or if you want to use your imagination or bring a photo to work from. We'll have the materials.
I love doing that, and oftentimes I find myself just getting taken away by that feel of the brush on the paper and or the board or whatever you might be using, and it's a great way to get lost. Yeah. And so it's such a good way to be in life and to experience that you know, transformation that happens on the page or in the clay or you know, with the metal or the jewelry, just to play. That's such an essential part of being connecting with being human and connecting with other people, and there's nothing worth like it.
Well, it's very therapeutic too.
Totally.
I do think so. Yeah. So we are talking about this. We are excited about the same things, and I'm really, really thrilled to be here today. Julie Faulkner and Jessica Prill are here to tell us. We started talking about the Creative Crawl, which is a new event happening in downtown Faribault. The next one is Friday, the 15th of June. So next Friday from 5 to 8, you can get that on your calendars, and it is just a place to go and hang out, to see what's happening in downtown Faribault, to explore the spaces that are there. The Paradise has a lot going on. Remind our listeners a little bit about some of the things, because you can come for the start of it, and then
You can go to the gallery opening and meet the artists, and if you want to stay around for the play, you can do that.
That starts at like the 7:30.
7:30, the play starts. The gallery opening will be 5 to 7. We'll have Jeffrey Hansen. He does large abstract paintings. They're just gorgeous. We'll have Katie Teasdale in the gallery with him. She does functional pottery, and her style is very unique.
Mm-hmm.
The members' miniature challenge in the Brannish Boardroom Gallery, so that will have a variety of artists and artist styles. And Eva and Henry Peters will be in the student gallery, the Krieger Gallery, and they'll have a variety of artwork, their brother and sister. And they're 13 and 15 right now.
Cute.
And then we, of course, have our gift shop. And it's just going to be an amazing evening.
And if you haven't seen the space at the Paradise Center for the Arts, it is worth just being in that. I mean, it's an old theater. We were talking a couple weeks ago. Your boss, Kristen?
Kristen Twitchell, yeah.
Was here. And, it's a treasure. Just,
yes.
Just the,
totally.
The architecture.
Old opera house turned movie theater turned art center.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so lucky we have it.
It is.
Just the marquee alone is incredible.
I think so. And you don't find that very often.
No.
And so to have that asset in downtown Faribault, it's a great way to celebrate all that's happening. And that road that runs right in front, Central Avenue,
mm-hmm.
very easy to find.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And your space will be in transition for this.
It will. So I will be open for the event, but at 219.
219 is the
the new location. So if you're looking for, I'll have signs in my window, but if you're trying to find me on the corner, I will be down the street, not far. Just a jaunt.
Yeah, we can help you at the Paradise, point you in the right direction.
Yeah, they're good people.
Yeah, and it's got to be exciting to have more happening.
Yes.
That means, a lot more traffic. And
mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, it's not just the art that's happening in downtown Faribault.
Yeah, and if you just want to talk with us or network, we would be happy to do that, too.
Oh, yeah. We know people.
Yeah. If you're looking for that class or that commission,
mm-hmm.
I think Jessica touched on it, that she does commissions.
Mm-hmm.
I do commissions. So if you need a portrait of your pet or you need a new ring or jewelry,
mm-hmm.
Come and see us.
And I think that's what's great about the community of artists is that I've always found that to be true. In
mm-hmm.
in every community of artists, there's support and there's appreciation and there's just this openness to...
It's amazing, actually. I mean, I have never encountered an artist in this area where I've said, how do you do this? And they're just lock-lipped because they don't want to share their secrets. I've never encountered that one time. In fact, it's almost like you have to back out the door like, okay, I got it.
And tell us, what you found as, because I think it's really fascinating that both of you have that business from your, it's more
day
than
job.
A day. I was going to say day, but it's not. It's an all day long,
mm-hmm.
round the clock job. And in your own work that you pursue, what perspectives you might have on just the community of artists and what what's developing or what are some of the dreams that you're hoping to create in Faribault?
Well, I think the more art you have, the better all the artists do. And I mean, like now, so Faribault was chosen to be one of the cities for
Artists on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that project.
The Artists on Main Street is partnered by the Preservation Alliance, History Alliance, PAM. I can't remember their name, but the Springboard for the Arts. And this is being funded by the Bush Foundation.
Springboard for the Arts, if you're an artist or interested in art and you need to, it's an incredible organization.
A huge asset for artists in the state.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say that, but tell us more.
Kelly Nygaard from Main Street of Faribault submitted for a grant, and it's a pilot program from the Springboard for the Arts, Bush Foundation, and Main Street. And so they want artist projects happening on Main Street. So they picked Faribault, Mankato, and Winona. And it's a pilot program, so we're very excited to be part of it. And they held a workshop, and we invited all the creatives and artists.
There's really 40 people there.
It was 40 people from Faribault
area.
And they were so excited and so enthused. And basically, it's placemaking. So they asked these artists to write proposals.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they got 13 proposals. And they reviewed them. And right now, they're contacting the artists and telling the artists that are going to be awarded. And those projects are going to start this summer and go through October.
So you'll be driving down the street and they'll just be...
Things will be happening.
Yeah.
So I like that word placemaking is really kind of a word I've heard more
mm-hmm.
recently.
Yeah.
With people that might not be familiar with that, how do you define... Or what's your take on it?
Sometimes placemaking is as simple as... decorating lights on your house or...
A park bench.
Yeah. Yeah, something that's going to be out in the public and the public will be invited or something you can see.
Accessible.
Yeah. making art accessible.
And then I think, I like to, the way, one of the ways is creating, you know, bringing to life the spirit of the place that you're in, so that it's visible and
connecting you to the space that you are interacting with or passing by or
right.
You know, so every day you probably go by the stop sign, but one day it's a gigantic sunflower. You're like, whoa, what a pretty street corner!
Yeah, it can just beautify the something that's maybe boring and mundane or is. Ugly, you know, it's just, it can be really simple things, or other things will be involving the community or maybe the youth. Some things are temporary, some things are permanent, and the artists are so creative that I can't wait to see what's going to happen. And these will all be happening in the historic, downtown historic district at Faribault.
And when will people start seeing some of those projects come to life?
I believe in July, end of June and July. Yeah.
Another reason to put Faribault on your radar screen and to, you know, make a visit. Where can they get some of the details of, in addition to the Creative Crawl, the other events that are happening in Faribault?
Well, you could check the Chamber website. Main Street, the Paradise website. Social media, if you go on Facebook and like some of these things, you will find out a lot of information.
Yeah, follow those pages on Facebook. I'm there. I've learned more about the town through these pages.
That's so exciting what's happening. And so if you haven't already, bookmark Faribault and put it on your calendar, but especially put June 15th on the calendar. That is the Creative Crawl happening 5 to 8 downtown Northfield, downtown Faribault.
We're downtown Northfield right now.
Yes, that's where we are now. And I was distracted by that beautiful truck that was driving by. I was thinking about the artwork that was, I don't know what the product was, but the colors
beautiful.
Yeah, it was really amazing. That's what we get. And here at the window of KYMN, we get to see all these amazing things happening. And downtowns are great places to spend time. And Faribault is certainly one of those that everybody needs to do.
Well, and if you're into history, the buildings are gorgeous. And like we said, inside of the Paradise has been restored to its original splendor.
Yeah, the architecture is incredible down there.
So I want to thank Jessica Prill and Julie Falker for joining me today. It's been my thrill to be able to share this story
thank
with our
you
listeners.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome, folks. This is Art Zany Radio, and I'm going to go ahead and give you just a couple of quick things that I remembered and mentioned. The Cannon River Clay Tour, that is happening on Father's Day weekend, the 16th and the 17th, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 5. Get all those details at CannonRiverClayTour.com. They were my guests last week. Really incredible show. They have 10 local clay artists, but then they've invited artists from across the country, and they're incredible artists that you won't see anywhere else, and it's just a really incredible sale with great works and a great community of artists. And I want to make sure and mention too an event happening at Content Bookstore that's author of The Lion's Binding Oath. Ahmed Ismail Yusuf has a collection of short stories. He has an incredible story. He came from Somalia, didn't speak English, and through reading and connecting to books, he just mastered language and is now an author himself. It's a powerful story of love and resilience in a country torn apart by war, but it's written with deep compassion for the lives of the Somali community. And he's from Minneapolis. He's coming down on Monday, June 18th at 7 to share his book. There'll be an author interview on Art Zany Radio coming up at the end of the month, and I can't wait to introduce him to you. So I hope that you will put that on your calendar as well. You've been listening to Art Zany Radio for the imagination. I hope you'll add some Art Zany to your life. And in the meantime, till next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany Radio for the Imagination with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.
This is a place known for being